Translation. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. In response, please. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. King Prataparudra recited this verse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Lord Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, while the Lord was resting in a garden. King Prataparudra humbly entered and began massaging his legs and lotus feet. Then the king recited the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Songs of the Gopis. The Chaitanya Charitamrita relates that when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse beginning Kavat Katamritam, he immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced King Prataparudra. The incident is described in detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 14:4-18. And in his edition, Srila Prabhupada has given extensive commentary on it. Om Iganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didat Mantikam Andeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Savadutam Parishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Ta Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorengi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sate Devi Ranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpata Rubiyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first time I heard this verse, I thought it was from some other part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was very surprised when I came to reading the 10th canto, it to be in the middle of the 10th canto. Because when we think about the 10th canto, it's Krishna's pastimes, and they're far removed from this material world. Even though they're performed in Gokul and Vrindavan as we know it now, still we don't associate with Lord Chaitanya and preaching, you know, Krishna consciousness. So the story goes that when Krishna wanted to satisfy the desires of the gopis, he blew his, I think it's his Vainam flute. And immediately the sound was so overpowering that he dropped everything immediately. Some were looking after their husbands, feeding their husbands, looking after their children, cooking. But they dropped everything and just ran to the sound of this flute. And when they arrived in Krishna's presence, Krishna tested them. He tested whether they knew actually the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Well, we'll not go into all that anyway. But anyway, the gopis defeated Krishna, so he had to perform the Ras dance. And of course, the intense desire of the gopis was so intense that Krishna wanted to increase their devotion. So he could see within their heart there was that desire to they wanted to increase their service. And so Krishna, being omniscient, he arranged a situation where that could happen. And so he created, by his pastime potency, that the gopis became proud. Pride, is it something we have in the in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said we can be proud of being Krishna's devotee, proud of our great master. But they were covered and they had some pride that, Krishna's just dancing with me. And so this gave Krishna an opportunity to leave that situation, because Krishna is not, one of the things he doesn't like is pride in a devotee. And so immediately they left, immediately Krishna left, they realized their misfortune and what they'd done wrong. So they were lamenting, and this is when they sang the Gopi Gita. They were going through the forests of Vrindavan, and they were looking for Krishna here, looking for Krishna there, asking the deers if they'd seen Krishna. This was in their madness of separation. And so then, in this Gopi Gita, they came to this ninth verse. And this seems to be out of context with all the rest of the verses. But if we understand this verse, it means the nectar of your words. What's the nectar of Krishna's words? What's the nectar of Krishna's words in book form? Bhagavad Gita. And the descriptions of your activities. Which one is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who distribute this, what's it say? These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. So this is the gopis, the mood of the gopis, even in that pastime of being, they could understand that separation, the nature of this material world. Obviously their separation is completely different from material separation. It's described how even that is full of spiritual happiness. Well, we can't really perceive that until we experience it. But they were speaking about the condition of the living entities in this material world. And so this particular purport, Prabhupada is saying that many, many years later, 500 years ago, there was a king called King Pratiparudra. And he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya because he was a great devotee. But we all know that what Lord Chaitanya's mood is. He says, there's one nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I can't remember the Bengali, but it says, when Lord Chaitanya sees the renunciation of his devotees, he becomes extremely pleased. So what's a king? A king's not a renunciant. So he avoided this king. Even when his close associates petitioned him, he wouldn't listen to them. He said, I won't see a Vishayi, somebody who wants to enjoy the senses. What will that do to my reputation? But anyway, the Gita also explains that the devotees are more merciful than the Lord. Is that possible? It's possible by Krishna's mercy. But anyway, Krishna gives his credit to his devotees, so the devotees eventually arrange the situation during the Rath Yatra. When Lord Chaitanya stopped halfway through, he went into a garden to take rest. And then they dressed King Pratiparudra up in ordinary clothes, ordinary dhoti and kurta. And he said, now you can take your opportunity to serve the Lord. So this is when the king went in and he started massaging Lord Chaitanya's legs and reciting this Gopi Gita. And Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. He says, go on reciting, go on reciting. And then he came to the ninth verse and he just stood up in ecstasy and embraced him. He says, you are the most munificent person. Nobody can I can't repay you for your service. And then, so this is what really pleased Lord Chaitanya. This is our movement, Sankirtan movement. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that explains that the king wasn't actually qualified to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So this is true for everybody. Age of Kali is a very degraded age, as we know, and we come from a background which is far from auspicious. That reminds me, I was speaking yesterday about when Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Hyde Park. He was talking about how we're coming to devotional service after many, many pious activities. It's explained in the Bhagavatam. Krita Punya Punya. The coward boys are playing with Krishna because Krita Punya Punya. They've got heaps of pious activities. And so all the devotees accepted this. They maybe was feeling a little satisfied with that statement. We tend to think that we like to think we've had a good past. Yes, I've performed some pious activities. But one devotee, actually called him Badger Hari. He was thinking, this doesn't seem right. I can't remember performing any pious activities, nor in this lifetime anyway. So he plucked up courage and he asked Prabhupada. He said, Prasila Prabhupada. Prabhupada stopped, turned around and said, yes. He said, you say we come to devotional service after many, many pious activities. Yes, that's true. But Prabhupada, I can't remember performing any pious activities. Prabhupada said, no, I'm your pious activities. And so this is the situation. So then, obviously, this verse is relating to the gopis also singing this verse in the Vrindavan Leela. So, so that mercy is available to everybody, and a devotee is especially qualified and obliged to pass this mercy on. So how receptive we are to giving that mercy is how much benefit we actually get. Prabhupada's spiritual master told Prabhupada, said, you should preach in the English-speaking world in the West. He said, this will do good for you as well as good for others. So our mood of surrender is very important. There's a quick it's a long pastime, but just to emphasize this, how this verse is saying that King Pratiparudra got the mercy, he wasn't qualified. We're getting the mercy, we're not qualified. We're giving the mercy. Other people may not be qualified. So what's the key to being qualified? When Bali Maharaj was attacking the heavenly planets, King Indra saw the power of Bali Maharaj and was very disturbed. Bali Maharaj had pleased his spiritual master, Shukracharya, and therefore his spiritual master had benedicted him with a lot of power. And so the demigods, they went to Brihaspati, their spiritual master, and asked his advice. And Brihaspati said, don't even try to fight. He said, you won't win. He said, now you retire for the time being, and when there's a more favourable situation, then we can go forward. And so this is when all the demigods, they were hiding in so many places. And so after some time, after this suffering, Aditi, the mother of the demigod, she was getting a little bit fed up with this situation. Why are my sons, they're kings of heaven. Why is this Bali Maharaj in place? And so she wanted to change the situation. So she went to her husband, as usual. And her husband was Kasyapa Muni, very powerful sage. And so she explained his problem. He says, what was the first thing he said? Anybody remember? He said, Matra Sparsha Stakuntia. Shitoshna Shukadukado, Agama Pieno Nichas, Tamstitikshisabharat. He says this place is a place of, you know, happiness and distress. If we get rid of this distress, there'll be another one to follow it. They're queuing up. So don't try, just tolerate. But she had other ideas. No, I want the kingdom back for my sons. So then he had to relent, and he gave another instruction. He said, okay, perform this Payavrata vow, chant this mantra, perform this ritual, and eventually you'll get what you desire. You'll be able to defeat the demigods. And of course we know that she performed this vow very nicely, and then who came but Vamanadev. He appeared and he asked Aditi what benediction she wanted, and she said, I would like the kingdom of heaven back for my sons, it's their rightful claim. So be it. So we all know the pastime. Does everybody know the pastime? Does anybody not know the pastime? Everybody knows. So quickly, the Bali Maharaj, he approached, Vamanadeva approached Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was so affected by this, the beauty of Vamanadeva, he decided, I'm just going to give this Brahmin dwarf anything. And so he said, well, give any benediction, what do you want? He said, 3 paces of land. And of course, Bali Maharaj said, I can give you much more than that. And so Vamanadeva said, if one's not satisfied with 3 paces of land, he'll not be satisfied with anything in this world. So he said, Tatastu. And, first stride was up into the heavenly planets. Next stride, he reached the edge of the universe, and his toe went through the covering of the universe, and in came the Ganges. And then he said to Bali Maharaj, where am I going to put my third step? And Bali Maharaj said, put it there, on my head. And so then Bali Maharaj fully surrendered. It appears externally he went through so much suffering. First of all, he was bound by the ropes of Varuna in front of all his relatives, even though he'd surrendered to Krishna. Imagine you're surrendered to somebody and then they treat you like that. They completely embarrass you in front of all your relatives. Then he sent him down to the lower planets. But then he said, the other side came. He said, there you will have, I will be your gatekeeper. I will keep you company. You will have no fear. It's a better enjoyment than the heavenly planets. Prahlad Maharaj will be your constant companion to keep you in Krishna consciousness. And then after this term in the Sutala planet, you'll go back to the heavenly planets and reign there for so many thousands of years. So it appears that Bali Maharaj is coming from a demoniac background, just like Pratiparudra wouldn't be approached by Lord Chaitanya. But he had the right mood. He surrendered to the Supreme Lord. He surrendered to the instructions of Lord Vishnu. And therefore, initially he suffered. But then he enjoyed so much. But what about Aditi? Aditi's a devotee. And she said she wouldn't follow the instructions of her spiritual master, her husband. And so therefore he had to compromise. And what was the result she got? You know, Bali Maharaj, he gets promoted to the Sutala planet, enjoys heavenly happiness greater than heaven. Then he goes to the heavenly planets. Then he goes back to Godhead. What about Aditi? She just gets the heavenly planets back. Obviously, this is a pastime. We can't say, you know, Krishna's using his devotees in that way. But this is just the power of following the spiritual master's instructions, following the Acharya's instructions. If we follow them properly, then we get all benedictions. If we start to deviate, then so many problems come. And so I was just thinking that the Prabhupada's mood, what's Prabhupada's mood? He got it from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He was talking to him about preaching. He said, we should feed them meat if it will bring them to hear about Krishna. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati to his spiritual master. That's how determined he was. And when Prabhupada told his disciples this, they were shocked. He said, don't worry, we won't feed them meat. But this is the mood we should have, that preaching is the essence of devotional service. Everything else comes second. Even Prabhupada used the same lines with Adikesh Prabhu when he was in charge of the preaching in Northern Europe. Before that, he started to preach in Yugoslavia. And Prabhupada asked him, how are you doing with the preaching? And he said, well, Prabhupada, we're doing well. They're very interested, but there's nothing to eat. He says, there's hardly any vegetarian food. And Prabhupada said, well, eat meat then. And Hare Krishna Maharaj, he didn't know whether he'd heard him properly or not, so he asked him again. And Prabhupada repeated, he said, just eat meat. He said, but Prabhupada, what about my consciousness? And Prabhupada said, to hell with your consciousness. So obviously this is going to the extreme, but but we can easily lose this preaching mood. There's so many things which will divert us. Why? Because preaching's an austerity. Preaching is tapasya. Tapasya means we do something which we wouldn't ordinarily do. Why? For some higher purpose. And so there's one verse in the Bhagavatam which is explaining this point. It's 8.744. Tapyante loka tapena sadava prayaso janaha paramaradhanam taddi purushasya kilatmanaha. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering. Because of the suffering of people in general, this is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Yaidam paramam guyam bhagam man bhaktish avidashati. So here Prabhupada in the Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no one more dear to him than one who preaches. It's the highest method of worship. And there are so many verses which we've all heard of before which are emphasising this point. But what do we have to do to preach? What's the main thing that has to be in the heart? Or one of them? We have to have many good qualities, many. Compassion, that's one good quality. Any other? Purity. Purity is the force. Faith. Enthusiasm. These are all very good answers. I was thinking about conviction. When we know this is doing good for me, and we're convinced about the process, then we think, you know, why should I keep it to myself? Why not give it to others? Prabhupada tested his devotees. He had all his senior men there. Have we really got conviction? Do we really have the conviction that it needs to push on this movement? You know, we're struggling a little bit at the moment, aren't we? In the beginning there was a boom, the Hare Krishna explosion. And now we're settling down a bit. It's becoming a little bit more sedentary. Maybe we can see that as being, this is the mood at the moment and this is the way we preach, but I've seen in temples around England, they've got the more of the Sankirtan spirit and they're making Western devotees. Can you believe it? Very difficult to do. So there's a message in that. If we've got the right, if we have the right formula, then they'll come again. Maybe we've got the wrong formula. We're settling down to too much, you know, easygoing preaching. So Prabhupada tested his senior men. He says, he looked at them straight in the eyes and says, so, are you convinced? And they knew they couldn't fudge it. They knew they couldn't say, yes, Prabhupada. Otherwise, Prabhupada could see straight into their heart. He says, you have to become convinced. Then this movement will actually spread. So yeah, purity is the force. It all starts in our japa bead bag. There's more than our hand comes out of the bead bag. If we really concentrate on our basic sadhana, so many things will become very clear what we should do. And the more we back off from our sadhana, the more things become unclear and we get diverted into maybe activities which are not in Prabhupada's mood. So anyway, I was told to finish at 5:30, and we're finishing at 4:15.